Herzlich willkommen, liebe Höhlenmenschen, der Football-Podcast.
Ich brauche das. Und wenn dann natürlich auch sowas kommt mit Statistiken und ja, der hat das und Lauf und alles drumherum, dann bin ich raus. Dann sage ich, okay, alles klar, ich gehe an den Tresen. Warum erfindet man Toblerone? Warum? In der Mittagspause halt immer so 100 Gramm. Ne? Ja, Fakt ist, wir sind am Ende. Ja, also auch körperlich, ich sowieso geistig am Ende heute. Das sind die letzten Worte? Was ist das? The Football Cave.
A champion. Learn from mistakes or failure and grow from it. Instead of complaining or giving up, he always keep the goal in mind and try to get up quickly, just to keep going on. A champion put all his energy exclusively into achieving his life goals. That's something you will find if you just Google what makes a champion. But how could, would, or should we define a champion? And with that being said, welcome, my dear listeners and fans of The Cave, to a new episode of The Football Cave, the football podcast. What if I tell you that once again, no costs or efforts being spared to get today's guest into the cave? He's a 10-time German champion, a 7-time Euro champion, and for sure the champion of a lot of fans' hearts. Not at least because he will show his lion heart again. But we should just let him tell us a little bit more by himself about success, championships, and being a living legend in coaching defenses. I'm glad to have him right here, right now, and give him a warm welcome. Good evening and hello, Dave Likens.
Hello, guten Abend, alles.
So, was it too much, the introduction? I don't know.
Maybe a little bit. I'm blushing. Okay. Obviously, you can see my film.
Okay.
But yeah, danke, that's ganz nett. That's very nice.
Okay. So yeah, as we can hear, your German is also as well. So, but we just try to maybe mix it a little bit, just talking German and English. I don't know. Let's see. Talking about you, maybe you want to say something about you. Maybe born in 46. So you're 68.
Ah, 56.
56. What did I just said?
46.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I make you older. Okay.
Feel older, no?
Yeah. 10 years old. Okay, first mistake. So that's okay. So where do you just currently live in here in Germany?
Or? Okay, yes, I am. I live in Braunschweig again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is my fourth time, my fourth tour of duty here in Braunschweig, and in Europe. And Braunschweig is my home.
Okay, so that's why I just call it the Lionheart. So it will be just a little Wortspiel, like we say in Germany. Yeah, so just start with football. So how do you get into football? Maybe you have to go back to the 80s.
Okay, I fell in love with football as a very, as a young guy, as a high school football player. And even as a high school football player, I knew that I wanted to be a football coach. Mm-hmm. I had an outstanding high school coach. He was kind of at the end of his run, a guy named Bill Bull Dawson. Was my high school football coach in Henderson, Kentucky. He had played at the University of Kentucky and had played for Bear Bryant. And Bear Bryant has come and gone with a lot of different people in my career. And the one thing that I learned from Bull was caring about your players. I can remember breaking a collarbone, and he went to the hospital with me.
Okay.
And talked to the doctors and said at that point, these guys are like my sons. And that touched me enough. And that's kind of the way that I try to coach.
Okay. 1980. So we were 24 years old, visiting the Center College in Kentucky.
Okay. I played football at Center College. It's a very academic school. I did very well academically there. Mm-hmm. I was not a very good football player.
Okay.
I never have, I'm a short, small, at that point, a smaller guy. Mm-hmm. And, but even then I went to center because I knew, I was told that if I wanted to be a football coach, I needed to play college football. Mm. And it was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. Center College is a fantastic school. The academics were great. I loved it. I'm a history major. I did a lot of my college learning about European history.
Okay.
And the coaches there helped me as I was leaving to write letters and to send all these colleges, send resumes out, and to try to get at that point in time, you wanted to be a GA or a, I'm sorry, I've got all this shit going on with my thing. I have to cut that out. To be a GA or a part-time coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I wrote to UK, Kentucky, a lot of big schools. And the team that hired me was Georgetown College in Georgetown, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there in 1980. If you want to talk about the glamour of coaching college football, my first 2 weeks at Georgetown, I painted.
Okay.
Ikvan Mala.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so for 2 weeks, I painted the bleachers, I painted the press box, I painted the locker rooms. So that was how I started my college coaching career. During the season, the head coach fired the offensive coordinator and during the season made me a first-year coach into the defensive coordinator at Georgetown College. And I think that was a big help along my career. And during that time, we would go down to Georgetown is about 20 miles away from Lexington, and we would go down and visit the coaches at Kentucky. They would give us helmets and face masks and stuff. You know, they had a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of money. This was before the Bengals set up their camp at Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up with a pretty decent team. We were first in our conference on defense. And, you know, so I had a pretty lucky start. And then our head coach, who was a wonderful guy named Bill Baldridge, left. And they brought in another guy, and he was really terrible. He was just really, really terrible. So to make a long story short, after spring football there, I left. I resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't have a job. And so I was looking at selling insurance, Versicherung, or I was going to be a high school coach. I had applied at a school up in Indiana. Then out of nowhere, I got a call from the University of Kentucky.
Okay, the Wildcats, yeah.
Yeah, and they said that they had an opening for a part-time coach and wanted me to come in and interview for it. And it was out of nowhere.
Okay.
And they just met me when I had talked to them when I was at Georgetown, and I guess Bill had given me a good recommendation. And so I went in, and the guy who hired me just totally changed my life, a guy named Charlie Bailey. And Charlie's still with us. He was a great football coach. He was the defense coordinator at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He was the head coach at Rice. He was the head coach at the University of Memphis. And just an amazing guy. And really took me under his wing that first year when they hired me. And Charlie Bailey taught me how to be a football coach.
So a little fun fact at that time, in 1980, when 18, so when you just starting at
80.
Yeah. 80 at Georgetown, it's the year I was born, so it's 44 years ago. So, yeah, it's a long time.
I was a youngster then. I was 24.
Yeah,
I was a little older when I got out of college. I went 2 years of community college, junior college. I stayed out of school for a year and worked, and then I went to center.
So, maybe let's just make a little how can I say, einen kleinen Sprung machen to.
Okay.
So the year 1991, maybe, if you have something to tell us between 82
and... Okay, so between then, I had a great time at Kentucky. That was my dream job.
Mm-hmm.
That was my absolute dream job. So I was I was there 2 years as a part-time coach. Then I was promoted to a full-time coach in the SEC when I was 27. Coach Claiborne resigned in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with at the coaches convention, the National College Coaches Convention, with Carl Torbush, who just passed away this year, was at North Carolina. They hired me to go at North Carolina after I met with Carl, and the staffs were being cut back. And Jerry Claiborne, who was my head coach at Kentucky, he went to Braunschweig in 1992.
Okay.
And so, they, I guess Gerald Meyer had met him at a coaches convention. Mm-hmm. I was at that coaches convention, and Coach Claiborne asked me to come talk to him and asked me if I was interested in coaching in Germany.
Okay.
They had just cut the staffs back. So if I was going to stay at North Carolina, I was going to be off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Mac Brown, who was still at North Carolina or back at North Carolina, had told me this. He goes, you know, says, it'll be okay if you come back and you're off the field. He goes, but you won't like it because you're, you know, you want to be a coach. Mm-hmm. And so they let me go to Braunschweig with Coach Claiborne. And that was my first trip to out of the United States. Well, not out of the United States. I went to some places in the Caribbean because I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. And so in 1992, I went to the Braunschweig, the then Braunschweig Lions.
Yeah, of course.
Who was in the Bundesliga 2, the second Bundesliga in Germany, yeah.
I got two questions about your, should I say, movement. So from the States to Germany. And this one, yeah, starting with 1992, when you come to Europe. So here's the question.
1992, you came over to Europe, or as we say, you came over the großen Teich. Why did you come to Germany?
You know that one, over the großen Teich? So
The big Atlantic pond.
Ocean. Yeah, yeah.
Big pond, yeah. We haben die gleiche Sprichwort, yeah, the big pond.
Ah, okay.
And I came with the head coach. I found it very interesting. And Coach Claiborne thought that I would like it. Again, I'm a student of history, particularly European history. So, yeah. My first time I'd ever heard of Braunschweig, I was a student of the Napoleonic Wars. So I'd seen in books about Waterloo where the Duke of Brunswick, the Duke of Braunschweig was killed at Quatre Bras 2 days before Waterloo. So that was the first time that I'd ever seen the name Brunswick. I was wrong at that time. I figured he was an Englishman. Brunswick was in England.
Point
in time, because it's English, it's the Battle of Waterloo. And but I learned different. A bit later on, yeah.
So you may know about the world capital of Solingen. Where I'm just
for swords.
It's of course, yeah, it is swords and knives and forks that's what we just Yeah, not only successful for, but well known. So in the whole world. But just on this next question. So it's about a little bit the difference between college football and also football in Germany. So let's hear it.
You are part of US college football on the field and off the field. What were your expectations on football in Germany? How big was the shock when you came to Braunschweig? And what was the biggest difference regarding football?
Okay, it was completely different, obviously. And we were a second league team then. German football has gotten much, much better since then. European football has gotten much, much better. And, at that point in time, we were recruiting guys who were bouncers at bars. Football hooligans, football hooligans were our captains,
That's a good one.
We went out on just the icy cold nights in February and we had 15 players at practice sometimes. But Coach Claiborne coached always like he was coaching in the SEC. So that's what we did. We coached them as well as we could, and the guys took to it. The guys liked it. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the type of guys who played it. I loved the type of guys who were imports and would come over here. And like I said, I loved everything about it.
So, and 1 year later, 1993, you just made it from the second league. So now it's called GFL2 or Zweite Bundesliga 2. Yeah, the Bundesliga, known as the GFL currently. So, was it just the success of being such practice, such coaching, or?
I think Coach Claiborne had talked to him about you know, they needed to hire imports and they needed to do this and that. Ken Anderson was on our staff at North Carolina, and Gerald Meyer met him, and Gerald brought him over. Andy Dinkin, who had been at North Carolina as well. Ryan Hockman, who had been our quarterback at Kentucky. Matt Riazzi, who had been a running back at Kentucky. So all those guys who we had dealt with before, they came, a lot of them came over, you know, to kind of build, you know, what Braunschweig was to become. I came back, after the 93 season, when they had the Aufstiegsspiel, when they had the relegation games, I came back and helped coach those. At that point in time, I was getting out of coaching and I was getting ready to go to work for Honeywell, the pretty big company. Yeah. So, yeah, I had some years out of coaching where I was, I was in corporate sales. But I came back and helped. We brought Kurt Johnson over, a player who had played for us at Kentucky. An interesting thing, he got off the plane, drove to the stadium. It was our first game that we played there at Eintracht Stadium in 93 against, I think, the Cologne Bears. Kurt got off the plane. His shoes were too big, but he caught the winning touchdown pass, I think, with 6 seconds left in the game. So, yeah, it was things were a little bit different then than having ITCs and 3 weeks to wait and stuff like that. But our guys, the first game in that big stadium, it was amazing. It was one of, I've coached in some big stadiums with a lot of good feelings, and that was one of the best feelings I've ever had, that game.
5 years later, so in 1998, it's Braunschweig again.
Right.
So which coaching position did you hold over your time?
Okay, so what had happened, I was recruited by a company in Cincinnati to stay in sales, and I had talked to Ken Anderson. He wanted me to come back and help for the season, and I told those guys who were going to hire me, I go, well, I will I'm going to do this, and then you can hire me after that. And they said, no, we want to hire you now, and you work with us for 3 months, and then you can go do that. So I did that. And so I worked with the new company for 3 months. I went over and helped Kent and the team, you know, with everybody else. And then I knew at that point that I wanted to get back in coaching. I was pretty good. I was pretty good in business and made some pretty good money, but that's kind of not who I was.
So, and the next maybe two seasons, were just very successful for you.
I'm sorry, I did not answer your question, so let me do that.
I was the
defensive backs coach and the special teams coordinator. And so Kent was the head coach, Troy was the defense coordinator.
Troy Tomlin?
I helped Troy, and then ran the special teams.
Okay, so it's Troy Tomlin, or
yes, yeah.
Okay. So just for, yeah. So in 1998, just make it short. Winning the German championship. So a German Bowl winner, German Bowl 20 versus the Hamburg Blue Devils, and 1 year later, German champion again, Blue Devils again. So do you have some reminder of one of those finals? Maybe the second one.
Well, we had. So I was at Brown. We won. I was 3 years again in Braunschweig. Mm-hmm. We won it twice. And then in 2000, we lost four times to Cologne. Every game was like a shorter. They beat us by 10, by 4, by 3, by 1 or something. But every game was shorter. But we lost four games to Cologne. And at that point in time, that wasn't a good thing to happen. And Kent left and went to Hamburg.
Okay.
So I went with Kent.
Yeah.
And Kent and I were, you know, very good friends, and Troy became head coach. So I went with Kent the year before. They had won one game in the GFL.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in there, and it was pretty awful. It was one of those things where they really needed a culture change. And I think we brought about a culture change. I mean, Kent won a lot of football games in Germany and got the guys believing in. We went from winning one game to losing one game and winning the championship against Braunschweig in Hanover. I think my favorite Hamburg team, and we won three German bowls there. with three different head coaches, it was the next one, the 2002 team. I thought our defense was just fantastic. We beat Braunschweig when we really had no reason to beat them. Our American strong safety, who'd been our leading tackler, leading sacker, he had like a broken something in his hand, and he just left the week before the German ball. He left me a X-ray of his hand and took off. I honestly think that that helped us win.
Okay.
I think that our guys got focused. We've won two German bowls with only one American in the game. That one and 19. It's kind of the same kind of deal. A different way happened. But, yeah, our guys focused. We had two great weeks of practice. And we were able to beat Braunschweig and hold them to a very kind of a low score when they'd been scoring a lot of points on people all year. And that was just a great team. Guys like, you know, John Van Look and Robert Koster, Molesky, you know, that we had a hellacious team. Gordon Crow from America. That was one of my favorite teams ever, that 2002 Hamburg.
Okay. So, yeah, just let me get some things straight for my listeners. So you told us a little bit about the next maybe 3, 4, 5 years. The 1999 German Bowl. So for the records, or just for the listeners at that point, the audience of that German Bowl was the largest crowd in a German Bowl ever since then.
Yeah.
So 30, I mean, over 30,000 people. So
it was amazing.
Of course.
I can remember we're at that. It was the, you know, at Volksparkstadion. I don't know if it had a different name then, but Volksparkstadion. And that was before the renovation. So it was kind of turned around from where it was. And, I mean, it was amazing. I can remember crying during they played the American national anthem and the German national anthem, you know, with that huge crowd, just very, very emotional, very emotional.
And, you just told us, maybe don't forget the Euro Bowl being champion, beating the Blue Devils again. So three times in 2 years. And that's the reason why Hamburg hired you. Maybe to don't get another slap in the face from Braunschweig. I don't know.
Hamburg hired me the first time because they hired Kent. And I went.
Okay, or not because of then, the success of then both they, of you.
Then the second year, what happened is Kent and... Kent had a kind of a row, an argument with the team, and Kent quit. And I stayed. And you okay?
I'm okay. Yep. Just
okay. And I stayed. And my plan had been actually to leave, but the players came up to me and, you know, they appealed to me to stay. And I had guys like Christian Beckman, we're playing Cologne, rips his bicep. Mm-hmm. I mean, just rips his bicep. Puts tape on it, goes back, and goes in the game. You know, that's why you love European football. Those guys that play it, that's some tough guys. And, you know, they're not making a lot of money. They do this because they love it. And that's one reason, like I said, that 2002 team is one of my favorites. They had a lot of stuff going against them, and they were just outstanding.
Okay, so maybe, yeah, if you can see, you just worked for the two best teams in that decade, so Hamburg and Braunschweig, because for the next championships, 2002 and 3, also beating Braunschweig. So you are on the other side of the sideline, maybe for the other team. Right. So yeah. How does it feel? Maybe starting with Braunschweig, beating Hamburg, then changing to Hamburg, beating Braunschweig. Is it just a little heartbroken, or just? Only in your mind.
There's a saying in it. I love the guys that I coach in Braunschweig.
Mm-hmm.
I love the guys that I coach in Hamburg. You know, that doesn't change. But there's a saying, have you heard this? Ride for the brand. That's a cowboy saying. So whoever's paying me, I'm gonna do my best for them.
Okay.
So when Hamburg's paying me, whoever lines up against us, I'm not gonna say, oh, well, I can't beat Braunschweig. They're my friend. You know, that's not the way it goes. You go after it. You ride for the brand,
okay.
And so yeah, that was not a question. You know, I'm going to coach for who's paying me. I'm going to coach those guys who are playing for me.
Okay.
And that's probably actually more important than who's paying me. We don't make a lot of money over here.
So just working under another head coach, who's well known in Germany, also for his success, named Kirk Heidelberg.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, both, so Kent and Kirk were guests as well as you are today in this podcast. So well known, and maybe great coaches, great men. So for the third time, so in 2003, for the third time in a row, and your personal fifth championship ring in 6 years, when I calculated correctly, because math is not my best thing, as it also wasn't in school, so I hate it.
Mine neither. But I think that's so, correct.
Yeah, and in this point of your career, I thought you turned back home, so just after 12 years living and coaching in Germany, so we are in the year 2004, and starting in Mansfield, Pennsylvania.
Mansfield, Pennsylvania.
So, how does that happen? So after 12 years being so successful, going to, I don't know, Mansfield, like in Pennsylvania.
Well, Hamburg did not want to hire me back. Kirk Behane became the head coach. He hired Javon Linhart. They offered me a reduced contract, and I didn't take it. So, I went to Mansfield, and we were one of the worst teams in college football.
Okay.
One of the worst teams in college football. I worked with some really nice kids. Okay. I worked with some really good coaches, and but we were one of the worst teams in college football, and we dropped football. We dropped football. I think after my third year there, my first year there, I just coached linebackers. My second 2 years, I was the defensive coordinator, but we were a Division II team. And they have what they call equivalencies of scholarships. That means how many full scholarships do you get? Mm-hmm. We were playing against teams that had either 20 or 24 full scholarships. Mm-hmm. And I think we had 2.5.
Oh, and a half. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd coached the SEC and the ACC, and I wasn't really sure how to offer a guy a $500 scholarship.
Okay.
$500 a year on his, but when they dropped football, to be really honest, it was kind of one of the best things that happened. It got me out of there. They paid me a year's salary. But, like I said, I coached some kids that I really like there. A kid I coached named Troy Godinay is coaching an inner city football team in Reading, Pennsylvania. Right now, doing a great job. So I think everywhere you go, you come out of it with something good. But we were not a very good football team. And I think there was one day, I think we played against California of Pennsylvania. And I think we gave up more points than any other college football team that day. So that day, I was the worst defensive coordinator in college football in America.
Okay.
Oh, shit happens.
Yeah, of course. So, 2 years later, the gaming operations were stopped because of some cost reasons.
So the program
was over.
Like I said, we had such a small amount of money for scholarships. We couldn't beat anybody, and they dropped college football, and they picked up sprint football.
Mm-hmm.
And sprint football, I think, is for people who are under 165 pounds.
Okay.
And it's played by some of the academies and some really small schools. So they picked up sprint football and dropped college football.
Okay. So,
interesting concept.
Just to move on.
And I have to say, I coached the same way. Coached the same way. I've coached teams that won them all. I think there we coached the team that lost them all. And I coached the same.
Yeah, so being yourself every time.
Yeah.
Just moving on to Michigan. So from Pennsylvania to Michigan on the Northville High School.
You really have some good info. Yeah, I went to work for Ryan Ottman. who had been a quarterback for us at Braunschweig, mm-hmm. and Ryan had been a quarterback for us at Kentucky, mm-hmm. and he and I were friends. We were actually roommates. We lived in Wolfenbüttel together for a while, and so I went to work for Ryan.
So, 1 year later, Megan. So my informations are just from Google. So it's on Wikipedia. Yeah, if you just put Dave Likens in Wikipedia, that's all the stuff you can get from. So it's a lot of stuff. Yeah, 2007. No, Mac. Mm-hmm. How does it spell? Mac Echern? Echern?
Yeah, I went. I got two jobs on the same day.
Ooh, okay.
I was hired to go to Innsbruck.
Mm-hmm.
With the Swargo Raiders,
of course,
and mm-hmm. to go to McEachern on the same day.
Ah, okay.
And what I did was I went to Innsbruck and I mm-hmm. coached for mm-hmm. a while. Mm-hmm. I went back to McEachern for 3 weeks for spring football in May, and then went back to Innsbruck.
Oh, okay. Just winning the Euro Bowl, so
yeah,
bye.
We lost in the Austrian, Bowl, but we did win the Euro Bowl. Yeah. It was awesome. I loved Innsbruck.
Great city.
Mm. The kids were great. I worked with Jeff Buffum. Jeff's a top, in my mind, Jeff's a top three coach in Europe. Mm.
Okay.
Jeff Buffum is a brilliant guy, good person, and obviously one of my very best friends. And I just really, really enjoyed that year in Innsbruck. Just a great town. We had really good players. And we had a great coaching staff, and it was just a whole lot of fun.
Also, just a little fun fact about Innsbruck. So it's a little bit difficult and complicated to get there by plane because of the mountains. So Innsbruck is just in a valley, so surrounded by mountains. And it just read many years ago that, for pilots, you need just a special... Ausbildung...
training.
So, just a little special practice just to land there. Just go over the mountains down to the valley. So, but Innsbruck, very nice, of course, nice city. So also,
I flew into Munich.
okay. Just make it easy. Okay.
So I'm busy now. Einfach, man.
Yeah, of course.
McEachern, we were pretty successful. We lost in the playoffs, but we won our region the second and third year. I think we were undefeated 1 year. We lost one game the other year. Then I went from McEachern to Berlin to the Adler.
Okay,
in 2011.
So that's correct then. And just make another step 1 year later. That's also correct to the Carolina Broncos.
Yes.
So being a Swiss champion. So
yeah. No. We also won the Euro Bowl.
Oh, also.
With the Adler, we went to the Euro Bowl championship, mm-hmm. but lost against Swarco. And then with Kalanda, we won the Euro Bowl. We beat Swarco in the half final, mm-hmm. and we beat Vienna. Actually, I think in the only American football game that's ever been played in Liechtenstein.
Ah, okay.
Played in Vaduz, yeah.
Yeah. So the Euro Bowl was the championship was before the national championship, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So first on, okay.
I'm not sure. I think not. No, I think the national championship was first.
Oh, okay.
And then the Euro Bowl was last.
Okay.
Because I think that was about the last thing we did.
Yeah. So, but also successful for maybe one season in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Just to get back to, who knows it? We know it. Braunschweig.
Yeah.
Of course, Braunschweig. What else?
So, yeah, I actually went, I left Innsbruck and I went back. I coached a high school team in Louisville, North Odom.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the playoffs there. I was the coordinator there. And a friend, actually, a guy from my hometown was the head coach there. I thought about staying there. And then I was offered the head coaching job back at Kalanda after mm-hmm. Jeff had left. Just things happened. And after talking to Troy, I decided to go back to Braunschweig.
Okay, so under Troy as of course as a head coach.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we in Braunschweig, working for 8 years or 8 seasons. That's correct. Nine seasons. Okay.
Yeah. So 13 and then to 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we played in 21. Yeah, 22. Yeah. I was in Wroclaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just doing what you can do best, winning some championships, I guess.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
German bowls, Euro bowls, the whole stuff.
I think what Troy and I did was very special, or what everybody did, not just Troy and I. But hang on, I just lost something.
Hmm?
You still hear me?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, because I've lost you somehow.
Well,
okay, I'll just keep talking.
Of course,
I'm not going to hit another button. Troy and I, to be really honest, we weren't real buddies before.
Mm-hmm.
And, matter of fact, he and I about came to blows one time back when we were both assistants. And he did not hire me because I was his buddy. I did not go to work for him because I was his buddy. I went to work for Troy because I respect him. And I knew how hard he would work.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew how hard he worked. And I think he did the same. And he and I, in however many years we've been together since we went back, we've never had a cross word, not one cross word. And, I think the amount of championships that we won in those years, we won a championship every year. I had a pretty cool stat going until COVID, that every year I coached in a first league division in Europe, I went to a championship game. I coached in a championship game every year until COVID.
Okay.
Every year.
That's good statistic.
And then every year that we were in Braunschweig, obviously we were in a championship game.
Yeah.
And every year until COVID, we won a championship game.
Of course.
We either won the Euro Bowl or the German Bowl or both every year. So I don't think anybody's ever had stress like that.
So you hear that out there? good statistics. So yeah. Well done. So I don't want to say career, but your coaching job ends in 2021. So in Braunschweig, just to go to Wroclaw, to Poland, one year later. So we have, I guess, five questions about that.
Okay.
And starting with this one. Yeah.
How did you bridge cultural and linguistic differences when working with a diverse team in Wroclaw to form a cohesive defensive unit?
I don't even know what that word means.
Okay, I think I do.
Okay, that's good.
So my German is pretty good. I can't count to 10 in Polish.
Ah, okay.
Mm. I cannot count to 10 in Polish. Mm. But our guys, mostly those guys, you talk about a team I loved. Particularly the team, the defensive team that we had last year. I love those guys. I love those Polish guys. They played really hard for us. Mm-hmm. And, I just think that the language wasn't a real problem. There were some who didn't, if a guy didn't speak English and there were less perfect English speakers in Poland than in Germany, of course, because of the background and where everyone was, then someone would translate it. And, it was just, one thing that I really try to do is I try to make things that are hard easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way we explain them, by the way we package what we do and everything like that. And I think we were able to do that. But I think if I or we conquered the language difference or the language barrier, it was because of the patience of the players.
Okay.
Not really anything I had to do.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, during the second year, one of the guys started speaking in Polish at one of my meetings, and I told him to stop.
Okay.
I don't think that I did a really good job in 22.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was a little too easy. Mm-hmm. And just the way things went, I wasn't really myself. And in 23, I was myself. I was pretty proud. I was very proud of what we did defensively. We won the games, put us in the playoffs, and those guys played so hard under some really bad circumstances. And I can't say enough about those Polish guys. There was a famous American coach came over in 22, and he was, he was kind of evaluating everything, and he went to the ownership and to the management of the team, and he told them this. He goes, "Those German players are better than those Polish players."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I told that to our Polish guys, and in 23, I think they showed how good they are.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see that going on, that those, if Wrocław is not good, it's not because their Polish players aren't good. They are. They work hard. They're very courageous. They're blue collar guys. And I really, really, it was an honor to coach those guys.
I think that's a good type of motivation, just to tell them that,
when you tell somebody those German guys are better than you, we beat a lot of those German guys.
Of course.
I think we beat a Berlin team that helped us get into the playoffs when we only had, I think, 77 yards of total offense. And our defense set up, I guess, 10 of our 16, 15 points.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, got the next question. Just let it flow.
Having been part of the Panthers organization, how would you describe the team culture and its impact on players perform both on and off the field?
The culture there, and I think when Coach Chris, we are our first year, 22, I really did not like our culture. When we talked to the owners after the year, that was one thing that I said we really had to do. And when they brought Dave Christensen in, I mean, it was complete culture change, completely organized, completely disciplined. And we practiced. Our practices were fantastic. You know, I think that that was a thing that made a big difference. You have to have a culture change, and you have to have the right culture. And everything to me, as a lifelong assistant, everything comes from the head coach. So I think, you know, that bringing in Coach Christensen was a really big deal, that he helped bring about, or he brought about, that culture change. And the guys played their butts off in 23 for us.
Okay. Just the next question, and it's a little bit about a question about some sports in Wrocław, but not football, but another one. So here we go.
Did you have the chance to attend a race at the dirt bike track during your time in Wrocław?
I had the chance and did not go.
Okay.
I heard them all the time, and it looked really fun. But I had about a 55-minute commute with two walks and a 40-minute tram ride. So once I went home for the day, to come out for to take an hour out and an hour back to watch the race, I chose not to do that. And it's probably a mistake.
Okay. So,
but it looks, it's the only thing that would fill the stadium there. And I heard them all the time and I watched them practice.
Okay.
So, yeah, we would be watching film and you'd hear them. And I went out and watched them practice and they go pretty fast. It's pretty cool. Okay.
So, the next one is a good one because it's about motivation, but also about food. So, how that comes together. Here we go.
Okay.
Polish cuisine is quite unique. Were there local dishes that were better suited to cheer up your defense than a motivational speech?
Maybe like sausage or...
Probably so. I don't want to get myself in trouble. I prefer German sausage to Polish sausage, but I really miss pierogies. I really miss pierogies.
Okay.
Pierogies are great, and I can't find them. Somebody told me that there's at one of the smaller groceries here has them, so I'll have to go look. But yeah, I liked Polish cuisine. Probably any will talk for me.
Okay. Okay. And the next question. Ending up with Wrocław, here is the question.
Did you also meet Jakub Lach from the statistic team during your time with the Panthers?
Not that I know for sure, but probably so. Not that I know for sure.
Good. So, yeah, that's when your time in Poland ends. So, currently, 2024, the upcoming season in the GFL, and just working for, now it's called the New York Alliance since many years. So, how did that come to, maybe what comes all together? Just a phone call or maybe some SMS?
A lot of things. A lot. It was a personal decision. Nothing had to do with the organization there. I've never been treated better than I was at Wrocław. Michael Latos, who actually got married today.
Congratulations. Okay. Yeah.
Bechidilla. And Tiana, who's just a beautiful lady. Carolina Llanos, who's the chief financial officer. I've never been treated better. I lived in a palace. Mm-hmm. And it was just some personal things for me. I saw right away when I would leave Poland and go to a away game in Germany, I felt better because I speak the language.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't mind being a tourist and not speaking the language. Yeah. When you live someplace and don't speak the language, it's a little hard. And I'm not used to that. I think speaking German for me is it's a good skill. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm in Germany, if there are voices around me, I know what's going on.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
In Wrocław, I would have in Breslau, Wrocław, I would have a little old lady come up to me at the tram and ask me a question. And I would just say in English, sorry, I don't speak Polish. And I just look at you and walk away. So that's not, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. So, coming back to where when I was going to leave, I was only looking at jobs that were where I could speak German.
Okay. So that's
perfect. Roy had a situation where he had to let the offensive coordinator go in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. And Troy was coaching defense and he had to coach both sides of the ball. Mm. And, Troy's my friend and needed help. So I'm happy to be back and happy to get this done. And from what I can see, we're going to have a really good defense.
Okay.
And a really good team.
Yeah, that's another question. Coming back to Braunschweig after 2 years in the ELF. So let's hear the question and maybe get an answer.
After 2 years in the ELF, you're now back in the GFL. A GFL which is not the same anymore. While some teams were not able to compete to the highest level due to the losses to the ELF teams, some other teams had to cancel their participations for some surprising reasons. Did you follow the events over the last month? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think particularly in the GFL North, I don't know if there are too many teams in Europe who have the same kind of personnel that Potsdam has.
Mm-hmm.
And Dresden is also going to be excellent. Both of them are going to play with four Americans on each side of the ball when you count their dual passports. Yeah. Which you can't do in the GFL. So both of those two teams, I believe, would compete with about anybody in the GFL. Mm-hmm. Probably Swabish Hall as well can compete as well. So, I think if we can beat those teams, then we will have got something done. I like the Elf. I think the Elf is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it has drawn a lot of the talent out of the GFL. I and Troy talked yesterday, and I went through our 2019 yearbook. And from our German championship team in 2019, 21 players and two coaches were in the Elf.
From Braunschweig.
From Braunschweig. From the New Yorker Lions, 21 players were in the Elf from that 2000, have played in the Elf from that 2019 championship team. And then myself and Simon Bowman have both coached in the Elf.
Wow, that's a lot.
So that's a huge number.
Of course. So now it's time for some. This is what others say about you. So I just talked to you before recording and told you that I got four men. Maybe you just call him the four horsemen of football. I don't know. But the first one who told me that you are, of course, we know, speaking good German and also understand it. So his words, I have to read it. Ich zitiere, because it's in German. So should I say who is it or just also read it down and then?
Read it first and then let me see if I can guess.
So, this person just wrote down, Zitat, Dave ist eine absolute Legende im American Football in Deutschland. Ich habe so unglaublich viel von ihm gelernt und gemeinsam haben wir die größten Erfolge gefeiert. Er war auch immer da, wenn ich seine Hilfe gebraucht habe. Oft stehen die Head Coaches im Vordergrund, wenn es um gewonnene Meisterschaften geht. Aber es war immer wieder Dave mit seinem großartigen Defense, mit denen diese Erfolge überhaupt erst möglich gemacht wurden. Für mich ist Dave der beste Defense-Coordinator, den ich je kennenlernen durfte. Und es war immer ein Albtraum, wenn er an der gegnerischen Sideline gestanden hat. What a mastermind.
Ah, das ist doch. Und wer war das?
Das war Max von Garnier.
Okay, wow.
Ja.
Danke, Max.
So, the next one. Let me see. Okay, it's a voicemail. Yeah, also first the voicemail, then the person. Maybe you who know, but I guess he's introducing himself in the voicemail. So, yeah, let's go.
Über Dave Likens lässt sich Folgendes sagen. Jede Mannschaft kann sich glücklich schätzen, ihn als Trainer sozusagen zu haben. Und absolute, sowohl als fachlich, aber auch viel wichtiger menschlich, grandioser Coach und somit nur das Beste. Mehrere deutsche Meisterschaften mit ihm als Spieler erleben können. Und dementsprechend, hey Coach, it's Nomi, all the best, and hey, nothing, yeah, what can I say about you? You're a great man, not only a great football coach, a great person, still have the connection to you here and there, and hey, thankful for calling you a coach of mine, and maybe, most important, a friend of mine. Okay, so,
hey.
Oder wie man hier in Hamburg was sagt, egal was alle anderen über dich sagen, ich finde, du bist ein toller Typ. In diesem Sinne, alles Gute.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was Andreas Nommensen.
Danke, Nami, yeah.
Yeah, Nomi. He just recording in his car while driving, so.
Yeah,
I hope
he,
yeah, of course. Ich hoffe, er hatte keinen Unfall.
Yeah, genau so.
So, next one. Oh, I guess this one. Oh, it's very personal, very heartwarming. And I hope you have some time. Du hast Zeit, weil es ist 2 Minuten, glaube ich. But
okay.
It comes from his heart. So, I promise. Ich setze Geld darauf. Du erkennst das nach 10 Sekunden.
Okay.
So, okay, let's go. Hier ist er.
Dave Likens, man. Wow. To talk about you for 60 seconds might not be possible, but I just want to say great memories. I mean, I'm talking jogs around the Sud Sea. I'm talking having a chamois at the Battle of Waterloo site, going through France and finding Normandy on a map about the size of the palm of your hand.
Fuck yeah, tell that story. All
the fun times we had in Chapel Hill at North Carolina, in Braunschweig, all the great football conversations, all the great historical conversations, and all those things that we went through and persevered through, some really, really fun times. And of course, there were difficult times, you know, as that comes with coaching, you try to battle and you fight through, and you taught me a lot about fighting through and battling. And it's just nice to see you've carved out a wonderful career for yourself, and you were very instrumental and influential in me, and I'm happy that we got to share a lot of those other things besides football, because as you know just as well as anyone, it's hard to remember the scores and it's hard to remember records, but it's easy to remember the people, and certainly you're one of the people I'll always have in my mind when I think about football. I wish you continued success, and just keep doing your thing, Dave, and I hope we can maybe get to do one more historical tour, or who knows, life's too short, who knows, maybe coach together one day, even though we're on separate paths now, but man, you just, you have meant a lot to a lot of people, and I know you remember the people, and I certainly remember you, and all those little things that we did together as friends and as comrades and just guys who went over to Europe and tried to make a difference. And certainly you have. So continued best of luck, Dave. And I'll never forget the time of watching you almost laugh yourself silly listening to Bob and Tom. Not many people will know that reference, but I know you will, driving down the interstate in Cincinnati. So, hey, man, great stuff. I hope you're well. Best of luck.
Yeah, so for the record, it was Kent Anderson. So we just talked about him. Yeah. And also a great coach, great person. So it was very important for him. Just a fun fact for him, because I just started to ask him, can you say something about Dave? So Dave will be my guest in my podcast. Of course, I will do it. And so when we just recording, I say, okay, it's on Friday. So it was 1 week ago. Then maybe 3 or 4 days before recording, I'm so sorry, I just forgot about it. Is it too late? Oh, I hope not. I say, no, no problem, no stress. It's on Friday. So it was so important for Kent just to find some words and, yeah, give it to us, to you. So I think it's a great, great story, of course. So, and yeah, to man just have some such a great, great time. So for many years, I guess. So
many years.
So last but not least, there's another one. Also, yeah, of course. He's also, I guess, of course, he's American, and so he will just also talk to us in English. Yeah, let's hear it from this one.
I've known Dave Likens for 40 years, since 1984, when he was at the University of Kentucky coaching defense, and I was coaching defense at Morehead State University in Kentucky. It was like an hour drive to Lexington, and we worked for the same head coach, Bill Baldridge, who was my head coach at Morehead State. So we had that connection, and then I saw him in 1998 when I was coaching in Cologne. And he was with Braunschweig with Ken Anderson. He won multiple German Bowls championships with Braunschweig. And then we got together in 2003. It was the most fun I ever had in all the years of coaching. Dave's a lot of fun, has a lot of experience. He's an outstanding defensive coach. And I cherish that season that we won it together. True partners. And so he's had a great career with Troy Tomlin in Braunschweig. He was in Poland and Austria, so he has multiple championships, and he's just got all the experience necessary to win in Europe. So I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast. I wish him all the best. I'm sure he's glad to be back in Braunschweig, and looking forward to seeing what's next. So thanks again.
Yeah, so for the record, that was Kirk Heidelberg.
Kirk Heidelberg, yep.
Yeah, of course.
Kirk came in and helped us for the first three games in Wroclaw this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he and Coach Christensen are from either Toledo or from when Coach Christensen was at Missouri. So they had a connection and knew each other. Matter of fact, I think Coach Christensen played on the Toledo team that Kirk coached for, that Nick Saban was the head coach of.
Yeah, so a lot of experience. Small world. Like, small of course, world, yeah. Football is a small world, yeah, and also it football is family, I guess. Yeah. So you must be a funny guy. So it must be funny hanging around with you, maybe or not, as a player.
I can be pretty damn funny.
hear something like Daffy Duck, I guess.
I can, that's one of my, can't tell you that,
yeah. Great.
I do this because it's fun. That's kind of, you know, I think when you coach, the thing is to be yourself, and, you know, I like to make my guys laugh, but when the time comes to rip their ass, I'll rip their ass.
Yeah. So,
and I'm kind of doing it less now than I used to. But yeah, it's a game. It's a game. You know, we work really hard at it. We ask our players to work really hard at it, but it's a game. And, you know, in the end, it has to be fun for them.
Of course.
It has to be a disciplined, tough kind of fun, but it has to be fun.
Of course. Yeah. Wise words. So now we have some community questions. To put it all together, starting with this one, of course, that you have been to some places due to football. So here's the question.
You've been some places due to football. The distances between your jobs were quite far. Did you move with every team change, or do you have a home base and you're just near the current team during the season?
Right now, Braunschweig is my home. I'll go home for the holidays and for a month. You know, I'm Monat by Nachtenside.
Okay.
You know, home for Christmas for a month. And that's about enough for me. I don't really miss, I like life in Europe.
Okay. Wow.
I like life in Europe. I don't really miss America. I miss Kentucky.
Okay.
I miss my home, my brothers. The things that make the area Kentucky is special. So, you know, like everyone has their, you know, their own area. So that's special to me.
Okay.
So, Europe, you know, when I'm over here is my home. When I go to, back to America, I stay with my, my brother in Louisville. He has a room for me. And then we visit our other brothers.
Okay.
So the last 2 years I've been able to see my other brother in Kentucky, and then also my brother and our nieces and things down in Florida.
So it's also family. Football is family, and family is football. So And just before I forgot it, we talked about Braunschweig. Yeah, just starting coaching upcoming season. That's something comes in my mind. Ich zitiere a current president. I'm sure I will not make a lot of friends with that, but just making Braunschweig great again.
Oh, fuck. I'm not a Trumper.
Okay.
I'm definitely not a Trumper.
No, I'm not. I'm also not. No. So, But that's maybe it's just a little bit to Braunschweig, not to the States, making Braunschweig great again.
I've seen another coach who's really good, has a podcast where he does that, make defense great again. I think that's a mistake.
Okay.
I think that's a mistake. I don't want to be associated with anything like that guy.
Okay, just to forget about it and just come shortly to the next question. So, and it's about me, I guess.
Podcast legend Longbow is now in a position where he could live from the incoming he regrets with his podcast. As far as I know, he only goes to work to have fun, and that his wife gets some free time. Do you earn a living from your coaching job, or do you have to do another paid job?
That's not the truth about me. But I can say that what the truth is that my wife isn't at home right now, so I'm here in my cave, of course, alone with my dogs outside. But it's about you. So do you have another paid job, or is it just the job as a coordinator and coach?
Me?
Yeah, so just to live from the...
This is it. This is it. Yeah, I've been lucky that... I've been able to make a living and a pretty good living doing it. Not like they do in America, of course, anymore. But this is how I this is my only job.
Okay. So going on with that question.
You're now nearly 70 years old. Are there any thoughts about your last game? Do you have any plans? Other people may think they will coach until they reach a special title, but looking at your achievements, I can't think of any you don't have in your collection.
Think about a retirement or no?
I sometimes think about it. I got this from Nick Saban, who just retired, and I really found what he has been talking about the last few days interesting. This keeps me young. This keeps me young, and I'm a long way away from 70. A year is a long time.
Of course.
2 years is a long time. Yeah. 2.5 years is a long time. So, when that time comes, we'll see. And when I can no longer do this and do it well, or nobody wants me to do it, then I'll do something else or go and retire. But to me, this keeps me young. It keeps me alive, and being around these guys over here, like I said, I admire the local players who play, the sacrifices they make, and I like the guys who come here from other countries and do this as imports. And it's I coached a lot of college football. Coached 11 years in the SEC and ACC, and coaching in Europe is by far the most fun that I've ever had coaching.
Okay.
By far.
By far. Yeah, I guess we will see you for a long time on the sideline in Braunschweig.
We will see.
Okay.
We will see.
So before the next question, I have to explain because, I'm in that question again, my person. Because it's about offense and defense, and for myself, I played offensive lineman for 12 years. That's you have to have in your mind when the question is ready to...
Scenario. During your game preparation, you look at the opponent roster and see Prime Longbow. What a beast. How can you stop this machine? Which tactic would you choose? And is there any player from your coaching years who comes in mind who could match Longbow?
So... but my prime is over, so I was left tackle and left guard for 12 years, but not in the Bundesliga or any kind of third league. I don't know if I can say I was a beast in my prime, but is there any kind of linebacker or maybe defensive tackle you say, okay, that's one who can match up with me in my prime? I don't know.
You asking me or that guy?
Of course, you and maybe also the guy. So for the records, I'm should I say in German? 2 meter over 2 meters and high. Yeah. And in my prime, I was 130 kilo. So that's why they call me a beast. But I don't think so.
Yeah.
We never know.
Patrick Fink of Patrick Fink of sehr hart.
Okay, so maybe that's the guy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, maybe so.
So going on to the next question, and of course, defensive strategies. So here is the question:
how did you adapt your defense strategies to the playing styles in European League of Football, especially with the Rocklow Panthers?
We try to find what our guys do well.
Mm-hmm.
We self-scout all the time, we use Huddle, and I can, I'll take our calls, and we have you can take all of your plays and look at them by result, by the yardage against them, and then you can find what you do well.
Mm-hmm.
So as we analyzed what we did at Wrocław last year, when we set in our base defense, rush four people and drop seven, we were not successful. We did not cause any havoc, and we gave up a lot of long plays. We are looking now at using, there is a statistic in college football that's called havoc, and we coach a havoc based defense. And what the havoc number is you want tackles for loss, which would include sacks, forced fumbles, defended passes, which means a pass that is physically broken up or intercepted, and then any stop on third down. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make the offense go backwards. That's one of the reasons that for the past few years you see us do the thing where we jump our defense to try to make the offense jump off sides. That's a 5-yard loss. It's still the same down, but that's a 5-yard loss.
Of course.
So we work to try to create negative plays. So when we saw that we weren't successful in our base, we just said, okay, we have to blitz more and put more pressure. So we became a 5-man pressure team and a 6-man blitz team.
Of course.
And we were better doing that. And our last three regular season games, you know, we put a lot of pressure in, against some very good football teams, against Munich, against Berlin, and then against you know, the enthroners in Hungary, and we put a lot of pressure on them. And then I didn't do a really good job the last game against the Surge. I wasn't really happy with. I made one adjustment that hurt us more than it helped us, and then I didn't adjust well until halftime of the game. We were better after halftime after we adjusted, but I didn't do a really good job.
Okay.
I didn't feel like in that game. But our last three, well, the last half of the season, we were excellent on defense at Ed Wrocław. Those kids, those Polish guys did a hell of a job for us, and our imports that we had, but especially those Polish guys, man. Guys like Krzysztof Wiese and Kamil Ruta, Zimon Adamczyk, Adam Larry, you know, they're just outstanding kids. And, well, kids, a lot of them are in their mid to late 30s.
Yeah,
but those guys did a great job for us. And I really like coaching that team.
Okay. So, yeah, coming to the next question. It's about, some moments in your coaching career. So here we go.
Which moments in your coaching career stand out as particularly rewarding and challenging, or how have these experiences shaped your coaching approach?
Okay. In my career, getting to Kentucky and then getting promoted to head coach, or not head coach, but to full-time coach. Mm-hmm. I think when I was promoted, I was 27. I was the youngest full-time coach in the SEC. Games at Kentucky, we beat Tennessee twice. We beat LSU twice. At LSU, probably my favorite win ever in college was beating Georgia at home, and they were a top 10 team, and that was a huge upset. And my position, I thought, played really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those were great moments in America. Over here, let me think. The 2002 German Bowl, the 2019 German Bowl were probably my favorite wins over here.
Okay.
Both those teams were really close, and both of them played great defense in the, you know, in the final game.
Of course. So, yeah, okay. And we got, three questions. So, questions. Of course, questions. I'm a little bit confused. Okay, it's too late for me. I have to go to bed. No, I'm kidding.
Coffee.
Of course, but then I can't sleep. Yeah, next question is about future American football, of course, players in Europe. So let's hear it.
Based on your experiences with the Panthers and in European football, where do you see the future of American football in Europe going, especially in terms of talent development and competitive level?
Okay. Football in Europe has gotten much better. I mean, you know, I was here in 92, you know, and like I said, we were getting football hooligans and bar and bouncers, you know, to play for us. And the players now, they work out more, they understand more, they have more game experience. The coaches have gotten better. I mean, in the early days, the European coaches who were able to coach in the NFL Europe, they had a huge advantage. They were around real football coaches, you know, who taught them. The other guys, you know, there's so much football on the internet now that you can find on, you know, on YouTube. And I'm still learning, and I do that myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll take YouTube things that we find, and we'll send them to our whole team or our whole defense. But the players, they know more about nutrition. They're stronger. They know more. They're faster. So you're going to see more and more European players being able to go play in college in America and being able to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because football has gotten better, and I think in every way possible.
Of course,
maybe with the exception of the crowds. You know, it's a shame we don't have the crowds like we did back in the early 2000s. Because I think these guys that are playing, you know, in the GFL and in all the national leagues, the Italian league, the Swiss league, the Austrian league, you know, they deserve to play before a crowd. And, you know, maybe that'll come back as well. But the product on the field is getting better every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Nothing more to say. So one of the two last questions. Yeah, maybe about some talents here in Europe.
Aside from coaching skills, did you discover any hidden talents during your time in Europe?
Of my own?
Yeah, of course, maybe. So
okay. Well, I was a state championship racquetball player right after I left Kentucky, and I was a pretty decent squash player back before I got fat. Okay, although now I have to admit I am now working, and you have to keep up with me. Benny Kral, one of our DBs, is also manages a gym, so I'm on a regime now of diet and exercise. So hopefully, by the time the playoffs roll around, I'll be back in fighting shape.
Okay.
But yeah, and I think with some languages, I've found that I'm pretty good. My French is okay. My German is pretty good, and it's just my Polish never came along like that, like I wished it had would have.
Okay, now we know about some hidden talents, maybe. Yeah. The last question, and it's should I say a personal one? It's a little bit, but also about the sports.
Is there any person you've met during your football career who's left such an impression that you would really want to meet that person again?
Yeah, and I mentioned him fairly early in this, Charlie Bailey.
Mm, okay.
Charlie Bailey's a guy who was our defense coordinator at Kentucky. He hired me. He taught me how to coach. We would sit there in his office on Wednesday night with a 12-pack of beer and break down film. Mm-hmm. He would show me, okay, now this, you can tell this is a read option because here's where the quarterback's eyes are. Mm-hmm. And he trusted me. I started the season out where I would scout one game and be in the press box one game. And then midseason, he decided he wanted me in the press box with him every time. So, and then I believe that when Coach Claiborne came in, I was retained because of Charlie's recommendation. And Charlie Bailey's just a great person and a great football coach. Like I said, I think the guy who really taught me to be a football coach, and I'd like to hang out and have a beer with Charlie again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that was your answer. Because I have to just mute myself. I don't know if we can hear it, but my dogs are barking. Oh. So it's, yeah. Like
what kind of dogs do you have?
It's called, French Bulldogs. Two of them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Coach Christensen has those.
Okay,
so
yeah.
If you ever want to get him on one of your podcasts,
yeah, okay.
You have friends.
Yeah, now we are done with that. Just coming for maybe two questions of mine to the ELF. Okay. So the first one, maybe everyone wants to know, how do you rate the Panthers' chances in the upcoming season? Maybe you coached them for two years. So,
I think very good. I mean, they have a full professional coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
They have really, really recruited well for their offense. So I think they'll be much better on offense than they were last year. They have some excellent players, and I think they had an excellent offseason. The players, they had them in the weight room and out on the field 4 days a week. And so those guys are going to be, you know, to have a better football team, you have to have better players.
Of course.
And I think those guys have made themselves better players. So
mm-hmm.
I think they will be excellent.
Yeah.
And, so,
playoffs.
Yeah, I would think at least playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and coming to that, maybe who's your favorite for winning the championship? Maybe Ryan Fire again, or some newer member, or it's difficult.
Ryan Fire just made a lot of good moves. Mm. The Galaxy.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The Galaxy, I think, have made a lot of good moves. As has Paris. So that will be interesting to see. I think all those teams will be good. I think Berlin will be good. I think some of the other teams in our conference that, you know, will have made themselves better. I think the Enthroners will be better. Mm-hmm. And I think Prague will be better. Not that they'll be championship teams, but, I think a lot of the Elf teams that I saw made some very good moves.
Yeah. So I guess, as much as the ELF, it's going year from year to year. So, all the teams getting better by changing players. But
Wroclaw has been in the playoffs 2 of the 3 years.
Of course.
And like I said, I thought in 22 we were very disjointed there. That wasn't a good year. And so I think people they undervalue how good the Polish players are. I think actually, I think people viewed that as a weakness, and to me, that is Wroclaw's strength, is those tough, hard, blue collar Polish players.
Okay. So, going back over the Großen Teich, for two questions about the NFL. First of all, are you a fan of a franchise? And if so, which one? But I guess I know it.
You probably don't. When I first started liking football, I could tell you, and I was a kid, junior high school, I could tell you every starter on every NFL team. Ooh, I was that kind of kid. I can't tell you one person who plays for Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could tell you any person now who plays for Green Bay. I was a Green Bay Packer fan.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that I became a coach was I read Jerry Kramer's book, Instant Replay, as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
And that talked about the art of coaching football.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a Packer fan. I was a Dolphin fan. But right now, I don't watch a whole lot of NFL football. My brother Bobby, when I'm home for the holidays, is a Steeler fan, so I'm a Steeler fan, so I can watch games with my little brother.
Okay, but maybe you just
follow. I don't have a whole lot of I love college football,
at least
football used to be, but I don't watch a whole lot of pro football.
Okay, yeah, of course, it's also possible for us to watch college football here in Germany. So it's very, very exciting. So just to see the next few future players and also on. Of course, speaking of college and NFL, do you have a short opinion on the current combine? Do you just watch it or just read it in the papers or?
I'll just watch it and see. I mean, it's always really interesting to see who's going to go first and all the stuff like that, all the quarterbacks and, everything like that. So, I'll pay attention to it. But as I said, I don't really have a team other than, that I really pull for.
Okay. Yeah. So now it's time for the greetings of the week. So it's your turn just maybe to send some greetings out there to anyone who you want to.
Okay. I'd just like to thank anyone who would watch this or listen to this. And, if you're a football fan, if you're a football player over here, well done. Well done. to me, football in Europe is a really, really cool thing. And it's what I do. So thank you.
Okay. So I make it also as short as I can. Thanks to Dirk, read out the questions. And I know how hard it is to read it in English. So you have the German word in your mind, and then it's it goes like German and some Dinglish.
You did a good job.
Thank you. So Dirk, you hear it from a head coach, from a coaching legend. So. Also, thanks a lot to Max and Andreas, Kent and Kirk for your voicemails. Thank you for just not let me hanging out here in the air, dass ich nicht in der Luft hänge. Ganz besondere Grüße, of course, Kirk, because he wants to know when that episode goes on air. So I will tell him, so he will listen to this. Kirk, thanks a lot. He's starting, coaching again as a head coach from the Germany All Stars. So it's a bunch of legendary players and guys here in Germany, former well-known players. So it will be fun. So with that being said, let's go to some kind of scratching. Because it's time for, and let me know, just changed in German. Es ist Zeit für die Vorschau und kurz mal Zeit, um ein bisschen Deutsch zu sprechen. Denn ich möchte euch, liebe Höhlenmenschen da draußen, über das informieren, was euch in der nächsten Folge von The Football Cave erwartet. Einen wirklich tollen Gast, denn der hat es dann auch geschafft, zum Wiederholungstäter zu werden. Ist dann zum zweiten Mal da. Freut euch auf Thomas Kösling, Head Coach Frankfurt Galaxy. Und wir sprechen über die Seasons, die vergangenen, also von 2021 bis 2023. Und wir sprechen natürlich auch über die bevorstehende 2024er Saison. Ihr habt gehört, Dave sagte auch schon, Frankfurt hat gute Arbeit gemacht im Roster. Und darüber sprechen wir, um das Ganze drumherum. Vieles mehr, freut euch drauf und hört unbedingt rein. So, and now it's time maybe to be a little bit sad because it's time to say goodbye. Of course, you have to cry, but I don't know, warum ist immer so schwierig, also es ist traurig, aber wir lachen immer alle. Ich weiß auch nicht warum. Das ist immer, okay. I don't know.
Wie war das? Was that okay? Is that okay?
What?
The talk.
Of course. Yeah, that's because it was a pleasure to have you here. One of the most successful coaches. And let me, I have to call you a living legend, if you want so or not. It's okay. So I don't mind. Yeah. So I don't want any kind of those. So then I'm 44 years old. So, but maybe I have 30 years for the next 10 championships. I don't know.
Absolutely.
So it was a pleasure. Hope you have some fun. Thanks for letting us know who you are, what you've done, what you did, will be doing. So I don't know, past, future.
Okay. When present. Does this air?
It's on air on what have we now have? Let me check. So it's on air on Tuesday the 19th. So in four days.
Cool. Yeah.
So I have to hurry just to mix it so about I will let you know. So I hope you just immer schön teilen an alle da draußen.
Okay. Danke schön.
Danke auch. Letzte Worte. It's very important. Last words. So maybe something like 88 out the gate. Do you have some kind of special words? Such a motivation, something like 88, something like that's the way. Something like that.
Let me think. For us in Braunschweig, wir sagen rise and rise again.
Geschafft. Ich habe fertig. Nachbarn. Das ist der Weg.